This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 524 in the series. This session shares my conversation with Amy and Jamil Adams. We met virtually using the Zoom platform. We had a delightful and interesting conversation on art in Franklin. You might detect that there is a little friendly rivalry going on in their household, as Amy is a member of the Cultural District and Jamil is a member of the Cultural Council. No worries. It's all good. We do eventually get into a wide-ranging conversation on the role of art in the community, the Freedom Team, and a special shout-out to 67 Degrees Brewery. Our recording runs around 37 minutes. So let's listen to my conversation with Amy and Jamil. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM, and here on the Franklin Local Area Dial at 102.9. Here, we're joined by two of Franklin's artists, who they are and what they do. Amy, why don't you go first? Amy Adams, I should mention that. Yeah. And you're with the Cultural District, amongst other things, but...
Yes, so Amy Adams, I am on the Franklin Cultural District now. I am a local artist. I paint. I share. I do virtual paint nights. I do classes online. I have a website that people can visit later. I'll give you the info and then maybe you can share it.
We'll include that in the show notes for sure.
Sure. And right now I'm practicing or getting ready to do a couple different things and set the new year in. It's been quite a ride, but we're just looking forward to sharing our art with the public and, you know, just seeing how that's received.
Yep, we'll get into that more because I think I've seen some of your art on the walls at a favorite beer place that I like to go to. So,
yep.
And the other voice you may have heard chuckle in the background there, Jamil, give you a little bit more about you and for the readers so we can know where we're going so we can get into this conversation.
Oh, no, absolutely. So in this conversation, I'm Amy's background music and protection and, you know, shadow, so to speak. There's a little rivalry in the involvement in the town. Like she said, she's FCD. I'm down with the FCC,
ooh. So
the Franklin Cultural Council.
Yes.
So we got the town on lock. At the same time, we still rivals a little bit. We just provide
a little power game going on there in the household.
We're just trying to provide our texture to the fabric of the town. That's all. I'm a poet as well. I love bringing folks together, and the town of Franklin has been great to us, and so we appreciate this opportunity to just talk a little bit about how we get down and enjoy what's going on here. This is great.
Yeah, so for some of the readers, listeners, they may remember that I've said from time to time I'm a quiet poet, and literally that's the name of my website, quietpoet.com. I developed Sherku, my personalized form of haiku.
Haiku.
Okay. Haiku, people remember as kind of the standard three lines, yeah. 17 syllables. I did two major things with it. I added two syllables. 19 is still an impossible number. If anybody's ever played cribbage, 19, you can't score. And then because of the American idiom, William Carlos Williams, et cetera, three or four syllables is the American idiom, like, just yeah, do it, the famous Nike phrase. I mean, there's a lot of examples like that. So mine intend to be five or six lines, you know, so they're shorter, but more in the American voice, such as it is.
You should start dropping a Sherku every episode.
Yeah.
Or
end it with one. I could do that. I've tried to use my Sherku as kind of like my safe space, my quiet space, my recovery space. I do have a Franklin line Sherku. So each of the train stops along the Franklin line, I've got one for each of those.
Oh.
But I haven't done something like that kind of for, you know, town of Franklin business perspective. So, yeah. But that's an opportunity.
Yeah.
The other piece at some point, too, it may be interest of you to, there is a writers group at the Senior Center that meets weekly via Zoom right now, but at some point we're going to be back in the building and we can always use different writers and different perspectives, and we gather weekly and at least just share, check in, how are you doing, what's going, et cetera. But then if you've got something you're working on, something you're writing, and you want some feedback on, you read it. So a lot of my Sherku have gone there, although I've also, because I've been spending less time writing that, I've dug into the archives of the pre-Sherku, which are more of the free form works, et cetera. But that's an opportunity too.
Yeah, let us know about that. It'd be great to connect with the folks at the Senior Center and hear some of their words and their wisdom and their art, and also see them do some painting as well. So yes, either off the air or, you know, or now, whatever you want to do, share the info, open contact with folks. It'd be great.
I wonder how many of them you can get to watch on the next paint night coming up. Mm-hmm. So we have a paint night coming up. It's called Summer Daisies. So Franklin Cultural District will be helping to host that. And it should be a lot of fun. I'll do a pre-recorded session, and then I'll be on standby for any questions during the time that it's going to air. And then I wonder if you can get a couple of the seniors there to join in and paint.
We can try. I know I've seen recently that they did, and I think it was in another studio, because it clearly didn't look like the Senior Center or any of the rooms within the Senior Center, but they had gotten together and did some a paint night or a paint afternoon or whatever it was. They all had their masks wearing there, showing their outputs, which looked rather remarkable. So there is interest there. So we'll just have to connect the dots to make sure they're aware of this one. And see what happens.
That would be great. That would be great to see what the outcomes to those would be.
Fantastic. Art right now is something that is so instrumental and is so needed.
When I say especially right now, in this time.
Yeah. Considering everything that we're dealing with, what we're going through individually and nationally, racially, economically, medically, it all has an impact. Art has the ability to go beyond the rhetoric, and it stays with people. It allows people to have some of the private conversations they need to have, in hopes that maybe they lead to more intimate conversations with other folks. So art is very powerful in that way. And so this platform that you have is doing much more than you probably can imagine or give credit for. So to that end, you know, let the arts do the art. Toni Morrison said, this is what artists do during this time. We art, we create. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening. You know, yes. Minnesota is burning right now. People are trying to get together behind that and make something happen. I'm sure there's a lot of art that will communicate what's happening there, because that's the one that's getting the light right now, although there's a lot of activity like that that is unfortunately happening that doesn't get that kind of light. So, but anyway, you know, that's probably another podcast we could do. But art is very present and needed and necessary at this particular point.
Yeah, and I think a form of art, certainly music's been talked of as being the kind of the universal language. Everybody can tap into the sounds, but, you know, as a poet too, and I'm sure you might agree, and as we can certainly discuss, the just the oral tradition. I mean, the music developed from the oral tradition, right? Because the words, and words mean something specifically, words matter. Yeah. The right words in the right place have a rhythm, a cadence, etc. So
there was the word, right? That's how it all begins.
In the beginning was the word, and the word was good.
Exactly. Then it takes off from there.
Yep. I'm sure the original, you know, shamans, griots, you know, fire circle folks, they didn't go to choir school.
Or a different kind, their own. They didn't call it that, though, right?
Right.
We just give titles to things that have always been. So,
yeah.
That is what it is. At some point, there will always have been a Sherku.
Yes.
You started that, you know.
Yep. And the Cultural Council, I believe, has certainly been trying to do, and they've had the master classes on Monday nights.
Yes, those have been a lot of fun. The master classes Amy's done a master class.
Yes.
And you forgot about that. And that was so dope. It was well received, warmly received. And a lot of great outcomes came from that, a lot of product. Also, there's been folks that have done cooking. There have been folks that have done painting and drawing. Yeah, we definitely did like the cooking one. That turned us on to some we just, all kinds of new spices and
yeah. I think I participated in the first one that Sandia did. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Loved it.
So now we got a little box of spices trying to duplicate what mm-hmm. she had mm-hmm. on air.
The spice box.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but the FCC's, I mean, that's the whole mission of our group. And when I say our, I mean, not just those of us that are there, but for our group, meaning the Town of Franklin group. And so the whole point is to try to get as much art into Franklin as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number, the Monday masterclasses are just one particular point.
One piece. Happens,
but it is more coming. When we did the Halloween thing earlier this year, the decorate your house thing, that was fun.
Yes.
And got a lot of people engaged in a time when we needed to have something happening, particularly with the medical pandemic. And we also are very, very intentional about making sure that we don't disrespect folks culturally or spiritually, economically, et cetera. And we've actually added some language to our documentation so that we're mm-hmm. considerate of racial and cultural implications there as well. So this art piece is fantastic. I think soon we're going to be doing some, we're going to have some positions open up at some point, so we want some folks to be, more folks to become involved. Now, to become involved in the FCC, I think it's a 50-year commitment. So,
and sign off your firstborn and half your mortgage, etc. Yes, yes.
Like 3 days, but it's just been a great opportunity to just talk about art and how art connects to the different resources that fund what the FCC is able to do. It's also put us in contact with a number of different representatives throughout the community. So, I mean, but I can talk about the FCC on end because we really are a great group of people and have a good time.
Yeah.
And we've just recently began to do some more partnering with the FCD. In fact, I think the two are co-sponsoring the upcoming the Art Walk.
Art Walk.
This is some unifying going on there, which is a great, yep. great
mm-hmm. thing. Yeah, for the listeners, if they haven't heard, the Art Walk is the first weekend in June, if I recall. Actually, no, it's the second, because the first weekend is the 4th, 5th, right? So it's the 11th, 12th, 13th. Yep. I was catching myself as I said that. I was like, no, first Friday in June is the high school graduation. We couldn't compete with that.
It's really great. Something to look forward to. We're going to have art. We're hoping to have art in as many businesses as possible. So if you're a business out in the center and you have not heard about or have not decided to reach out, then you should now. Mm-hmm. And we are connecting artists with those businesses so that the artists can get their artwork on those display windows. The idea is to get people walking around, notice your business, notice the art, enjoy it, take it in, bring more people into the town, you know, all abiding by COVID regulations, of course, but mm-hmm. you know, the idea is to get people out and involved.
And by making it accessible in as many ways, forms, mediums in the art world. If there's good weather, I believe there's going to be some music involved. So yeah.
There'll be some performers. Black Box is going to be hosting a few events as well. There'll be involvement from the library, and there'll be an additional part, Ladybug Walk, and their Ladybug Project. And so they'll have these ladybugs that people can follow along with their, you know, their trail going. And then we hope to have all of that around the same time. If not, they might still be working on that. But the Art Walk will definitely let people get from one location to the next. We hope to have
right.
a map set up so that people can follow through, and QR code so you can learn about the art. It's going to be a ton of fun and a lot of things happening at once. So,
yeah, because I think while some of the ladybugs are out now, it's my understanding from the Downtown Partnership presentation, they're really not planning for kind of the formal, you know, ladybug walk until later. Right. So they really want to get more out. Yeah.
They're ironing out a couple of things.
Yeah. But at least there are some out already. So
some are. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say the beauty, one of the beauties of the art walk is the collaboration between, I guess, the FCD and the businesses themselves. Because you'll see art profiled in the different businesses in unique ways. And so you'll see them in storefronts, you'll see them in inside spaces and outside spaces. And it's just going to be great. It's going to be a really nice
It's a
experience,
great
you
collaboration.
know. And do you want to talk about the wood thing in the alleyway art thing?
Nope.
Oh.
So there's a mural project coming out that the town can listen out for. I don't know what the reveal date on that is.
Oh, sorry.
I
It's an exclusive
am
preview.
sure it's coming. But I'm sure it's going to be something I look forward to. So just listen out for something about a mural project happening.
Yep.
Or you could just edit this out.
You don't have to edit it out. It's okay. It'll give people something to look forward to.
The downtown partnership meeting last week or the week before had a presentation, and I shared that so some people would be able to see. And she did talk of Lisa Piana had talked of particular alleyways where.
Yes, that's exciting to me. Having
Yes.
alleyways with art in it
Yeah.
really
So I
exciting.
went and took some, made sure on my walk I took some pre-pictures, you know, the before look
What a
on
great
a good
idea.
sunny day. This is what it's like now, and
Yes.
just kind of imagine what it will look like in the future.
What bright colors will do to a space is
Yeah.
amazing. I mean, look at this bright room here.
Yep.
So yeah, color definitely changes the emotion and the energy that's in a place. So I'm looking forward to all of the alleys having different colors. But this one is a great start. So excited about it.
Yeah, I think the exciting part for me is kind of the synergy that'll happen as, you know, you've got a particular business in their window or inside the business, they'll have something and people will come up and say, "What's going on?
Right.
Why, you know," and just ask some simple questions. Why are we doing this way, et cetera? And just getting the conversation started, you know, that's going to be the key piece. And then wherever it goes from there, you know. Generally, it's going to be good.
I also think that the library was doing an animal. I don't want to get the name wrong, but I know it's an animal project where it's going to be happening with our art walk at the same time, and they'll be having a scavenger hunt for these animals, and so that the kids can get involved. And
Right.
also, we'll have QR codes, and we'll be able to pull up information on those that the artists are working in collaboration with the library to get those done, in addition to the art that they're going to have up at the windows.
Right. Yeah, and
So
I think if I
it's a
recall.
lot of collaborating, but it's really something nice to look forward to.
Yeah, it's bringing everybody together. Certainly the artists and the kids will get engaged as, you know, they're now, where's this one? I want to go find it.
Right, and that's just it.
Yeah. I remember when my daughter, so I think it was an 8th grade class at Remington, did a scavenger hunt in the town. And that was when it was before the sculpture park was created. I found that had been the town pool, and yet it was kind of this overgrown side piece. But we found it at least. We got points. Now, of course, it's one of the, you know, art places. It still has opportunity, but it's a nice walking spot, quiet in a way, a little, you know, little wildlife, ducks and geese and some arts in the woods.
I mean, nice. I know that the FCC again is there's a number of programs and events that have been approved that are specifically catering to young kids under the age of 15 and in the single digits, so to speak. So, because when you get young folks active in art, the sky's the limit in terms of what not only what they will produce, but what they will allow themselves to imagine and create and manifest through their involvement. When you activate a young mind with art, it actually activates so much more of their genius in their heart and their natural activism on each other. So looking forward to a lot of those happening. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, magicians and other folks doing art things, teach them how to paint and draw, and I mean all kinds of stuff. So
yeah,
that'll be coming out soon too.
I don't know, but I felt a little rivalry there. Like I said something about the kids, and then he felt that he had to follow up. You see, okay,
shadow, man. Just kind of up in the game, you know?
You're trying to say competition. I'm saying reflection.
Oh, okay. That's a great way to say it. But all of it, all of it is to improve.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good sign of one of the terms that I developed along the way was co-petition. Cooperative competition, you know. Great. So you're kind of working together.
Yes. Yeah, definitely all to work on Franklin and how we can improve the space we live in for our kids, because we have a couple of them. So
yeah. I don't know, the other thing that we can chop it up about a little bit is that connected to some of the topics that art has the ability to present is the specifically talking about race is the Franklin formation of the Freedom Team. And Franklin is one of five Freedom Teams that have been created throughout a number of neighboring communities and towns in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And the purpose of the Freedom Team is basically to preserve and ignite and initiate freedom through unity in a community. And it's based on a 10-point community engagement model that I developed. And it's just been something that has been really appreciated and absorbed in communities being proactive, reactive, and when necessary, retroactive in addressing issues of bias or hate. And each team is comprised of 10 centrifugal points of any community, but they're customized to the community. Some teams have as many as 20, others have as many as a steady 8. And so the other, if you look them up, I mean, the other Freedom Teams are gonna be in Waltham, Hopkinton, Natick, Franklin, and then the most recent is Wellesley. And at some point, we'll actually be having a summit for all of the Freedom Teams to just discuss what has been happening, what's been effective, and what are some new initiatives we might bring and share with each other, along with resources. So, but for the Franklin Freedom Team, we meet monthly, and we are in the final stages of the final iteration of the webpage.
Oh,
so
good.
Our digital presence will be finalized at the beginning of next month. And then we'll probably do a marketing push so that everyone knows what the page is, there's a hotline connected to it.
Okay.
Along with a email address that folks can utilize to share reports as well. It includes the chief of police, it includes folks that represent the town politically, folks that are community members, students, parents,
schools.
Representative of the educational networks, the faith backgrounds, also the interfaith pieces present, and as well as clinical aspects that come from a trauma-informed lens.
Sure.
And restorative/transformative justice elements as well. So all of that's present in each Freedom Team. And so we're proud of it. And we're happy about it. And so anytime something happens, folks now know who they will know who they can contact and not try to struggle to figure out who are the right people to address something. Because within that framework, we have potentially the points of connection to all the necessary points of connection within the town of Franklin itself.
Okay, good. I've been starting to hear some of that, and that's one of the reasons, well, now that I know you're involved, that's one of the reasons I definitely want to have this continue, because so I'm aware as well of the Franklin Area Against Racism group on Facebook, and I appreciate their activities, but there's other things going on. One of the things I've been struggling with, just as for my own, how do we address it? I tend to see a start, but then not a continuation of the conversation. So if the Freedom Team is going to help do that, absolutely. Because I think we had the major event, the Kneel for Nine last year. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there because I was reporting on a finance committee meeting. But I did hear of it and was able to listen to some of the speeches that were recorded, et cetera. So that, and then there's been others since then. So there, I know there's a welling of, you know, developments in a variety of arenas. And yeah, this platform and through Franklin TV and radio, we can help spread that word when it's ready to be spread, by all means, because awesome. I think that's one of those things that's, you know, needed.
Thank you. So we'll get that to you. And the Franklin Areas Against Racism, the FAR group, we have representation from that on the Freedom Team. So
okay,
there's a partnership there. The Freedom Team is not in competition at all with any of those groups. In fact, it's complementary to or any other group that is about bringing people together and deconstructing injustice. So the other things that have come from the FAR group is comprised of a whole team of folks as well that I'm, you know, happy to know and be associated with. So you're talking about Justin and Kobe and Kiki and Judy and a couple of people. You know, I just say their first names. If you know them, you know them. If not,
yeah.
I won't put their full names out there because I don't know if they want me doing that or not. But anyway, those are some great people, and it's a great feeling to have them connected to the Freedom Team, along with the chief of police and folks like that. So, yeah, it's a great thing.
It's all good work. Yeah, one of the other complementary pieces, potentially at least, one of the things that I've been doing with, and I had the idea a while ago. I was also aware Franklin TV had started, but we're now recoalesced, and I've got a partner, Bo Kinney, helping me. So we're pulling together a Franklin Area for Nonprofit Network. Mm-hmm. So we recognize that certainly the Downtown Partnership has kind of that's a circle of friends for businesses, and they also have the Chamber of Commerce. Cultural District creates a circle of friends for all the cultural orgs. And while there's some overlap between those, there really are kind of special needs for the nonprofits. So we're just creating, not to be in competition, but to create that network so that at least people around the table, particularly when they're in the services organizations, and they're one of their clients, one of their people needs something that they don't necessarily provide, they at least will be able to know who to make that transition, to make that handoff, so that the person from a Franklin perspective, we get what we need by helping each other to help the community. So we've had our second meeting is coming up. We're developing our website as well. That'll be coming out, so that at least there'll be this kind of, you know, network of nonprofits to make sure that, and oh, by the way, if we find that there's some gaps, then that's a market opportunity for somebody to fill in, either create something new and expand the agenda on, you know, one group or another. So yeah, it's those kinds of things that I find heartening to find, and I like to share the good news. There's enough bad news out there. We've got to do the good stuff.
There's a lot going on. A lot of greatness going on.
There is.
In the grim time, people are figuring out how to still allow community to exist, how to create shared spaces that are brave and courageous while still finding some joy somehow, even amongst the grimness of it. Right. Dr. Cornel West would say it's a grim time, but we find some light in these spaces. I figured it out. And so I subscribe to that completely.
Yeah, as we come out, finally, start meeting each other in person, albeit maybe still at a distance, maybe still masked, maybe not, who knows what that new normal is going to be. But hopefully we'll have started defining what that new normal is going to be. So yeah, to your point, and I think we'll recognize it, or some of us at least have recognized it, we need to do some things better. Mm-hmm. We need to do some things different. We can't go back to the way it was because, oh, by the way it was in many cases wasn't the way it should have been. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So let's put that work in, keep putting the work in.
A little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm. And keep having the conversations.
And art.
And art. Art either at the center, so we have the conversation, or art to capture the improvements, or at least to paint the picture of what's possible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have art before, but the middle, during, and after. Just have it infused.
Mm-hmm.
So
there was a little quote, and I forget the name of the person. I just posted it. It was in the school committee notes. Actually, the school committee notes I drafted, they'll be posted tomorrow. But Parmenter presentation had, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change, or something like that. Because clearly, if you change, then the thing itself has changed. And yeah, then we're no longer the other, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're a person. Was there anything else you want to add to this? I think we'll find a natural end in there, but we'll give a chance to...
No, this is fun. It was good. I mean, the only other thing I would probably want to add is, I'll give a 5 seconds. I actually would like to get a open mic night going.
Ooh.
For the community, and definitely a night that's geared strictly for the young folks. That's open for everyone. So make that happen. Again, because I really believe in the power of expression, and art will be, you know, fueling that entire movement. So I'm looking forward to that, hopefully having that happen really soon.
Yeah, and even when the COVID protocols, having something outdoor, weather permitting, it would still be a mic under a tent. It's fine.
Yeah.
Or at the gazebo, bandstand, whatever you want to call it, in the town common. That'd be a nice place too.
So we wanted to give a special notoriety to 67 Brewery.
67 Degrees Brewery.
67 Degrees Brewery, which we found out is that it's called 67 Degrees because that's the temperature that beer is brewed at for them. And so it's great. They're not only a great brewery, but also just some good people. And they also absolutely support the art. So if you go there, so off of Grove Street in Franklin, you absolutely will see art all throughout the brewery. Namely, boom.
Namely.
Mostly my art. But they definitely are welcoming and supportive of other artists. They had other artists work up there before they had mine, and they have other artists work there now too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're really good about trying to rotate art. Mm-hmm. So they support artists. I think, you know, if you're out and about, you should support them.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with supporting art, especially if they've got a good beer for it to go with.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because if there's any hesitation around, well, how do I discuss this? What does that mean? Over the beer, your tongue gets loosened a little bit, so you... Hopefully not too much. Drink responsibly, of course, but you know,
absolutely,
you can have some good conversations.
Yeah.
The group that runs it, they actually put together a video at the top of the year just to give folks some encouraging energy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Considering the medical pandemic, and I say medical pandemic because there are multiple pandemics a month.
There are multiple, the major public health one, COVID-19, yeah, for sure. That's medical public health, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And they actually teamed up with some other breweries to give a scholarship, to create a scholarship fund for marginalized and minoritized young folks. And so they're really tuned into not just the arts, but also social justice efforts as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they've done some community work where they've, I believe, collected funds or done some things to be able to donate to the Franklin Food Pantry as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty involved in the community. I think they're just kind of like the quiet, involved group over there, just kind of on their lonesome on that street there.
But yeah,
they are pretty involved, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like your quiet poetry. They're there.
And effective.
Well, there's something to that, right? The still waters run deep, they say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think they have great beer. I like their beer.
Yeah.
They also have a podcast, I believe. So
they're just starting a podcast. Oh, okay. I was the first podcast.
That's right.
Look at that.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
I missed that episode. I'll have to go back and find
Anchor.
It.
It's on Spotify.
Good.
Facebook page. Yeah.
You should have them as a guest. They definitely support art, like I said.
They do.
Yes.
Absolutely. And they will support you. And I imagine you know, it'll be reciprocal and you would support them as well. So
yeah. Yeah. I met Edouard, Olivier, 4 years ago, maybe five, when he had come into room 205 in the second floor, clearly pre-pandemic, mm-hmm. when the proposal was being discussed to create the brewery bylaw. Met him way back when, and yeah, I've been following the developments, and as soon as he opened, went and tried some beer, and I've been back frequently.
Good.
Yeah, it's good support. And one of the pieces, Chloe, you mentioned, I think it's AS1 or AS1, mm-hmm. Is the beer that they just reintroduced. I think it was on April 1st, which, you know, was an odd day because that's usually an April Fool's thing. And I was hoping it wasn't, and it wasn't. It's good beer. But to that end, supporting, and I believe it's primarily through Holyoke Community College, which coincidentally, I had also spent at least 3 or 4 or 5 years in a row there. We use that site for some of our pod camps in Western Mass. Yeah. So I was familiar with the school and some of that arena. And yeah, it's a good thing.
It's awesome. And I think they were just awarded and noted by the town a couple months ago. So that's another great thing. I mean, and to be a brewery run by folks of color,
mm-hmm.
connect to community is significant and appreciated. So
I think they're actually one of five in Mass and the only one of color owners. So not sure, but if you look into that, maybe.
Yeah, I think the collaboration is at least the five breweries of color collaborated on the AS1 piece. Yeah. Good beer. Good times and a good location. So yeah, along Grove Street, 67 degrees. And hopefully at some point in time, post-pandemic, we'll be able to have a beer and discuss some art. And maybe there's be some music and who knows whether they'll have, you know, pizza or ribs, or they've had some interesting foods there on the different times that I've seen.
They do rotate some of vendors, I think, that come by.
Yep. And now those kinds of food trucks are going to be a little bit easier to do. So that was also a recent development that's good. Should help some of our businesses like that. So, well, thank you both for taking the time today to share. And I'm sure we'll have more to talk about. And we may come back, especially as we get closer to the artwork, especially as we get closer to some of the other cultural council events, et cetera, by all means. And the other piece, clearly, the Freedom Team.
Yeah.
Yeah, one more of that's coming. Yes.
Absolutely. Okay.
Good. Thanks. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.